Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
9:09 on this June 6th, 2023, the 79th anniversary of D-Day, a special day over at what started as the National World War II Museum and is now, as the National D-Day Museum as a result of Stephen Ambrose, professor at UNO, and a lot of other efforts now as the National World War II Museum. We are joined by Michael Bell, executive director of the World War II Museum's Jenny Craig Institute for the Study of War and Democracy, and a retired Army colonel. Good morning, Colonel. How are you?
Hey, Tommy. I'm great. How are you today?
I am okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. A special day over at the museum today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a special day for the museum, a special day to honor the achievement of our veterans 79 years ago, and really the transformation of America's role in the world. And it really sets the stage for the opening of our next major pavilion this fall.
Let's talk about today's ceremonies, and we'll talk about what's going to happen in the fall. What happens today?
Yeah, so today at 10:15, the Synod Marching 100 will perform. And then at 11, we've got the Dr. Hal Baumgarten D-Day Memorial Ceremony. This honors, an incredible veteran who's wounded five times on D-Day, and then after the war, came back and became a doctor and moved forward. And then at 5 p.m. we've got an event called Real History, where we'll show the documentary founded on friendship and freedom, the National World War II Museum story. So opportunities for everybody today. I would note we also have with us, as part of the Hal Baumgartner legacy, to honor him, we have a special speaker's Medal of Honor recipient, David Bellavia. He was a staff sergeant in Fallujah, recipient of the Medal of Honor. And interesting, his grandfather landed on D-Day as well.
Wow.
So pretty cool opportunity today.
Tell me about Dr. Baumgartner's story, if you will.
Yeah, so he's in Bravo Company of the 116th Infantry Regiment. It's part of the 29th Division, sometimes known as the Blue and Gray, the Maryland Virginia Guard. And they're one of the two assault regiments on Omaha Beach. The other regiment's the 16th out of the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One. And the assault companies have an incredible task, made even more difficult because the Germans had reinforced that sector the month before with another division. So instead of the assault troops outnumbering the defenders, it's just the opposite. So in his initial assault, 28 out of the 30 soldiers in his landing craft don't make it through the day.
Colonel.
Yeah, so in his landing craft, there's 30 soldiers. 28 of those soldiers don't make it through the day. And Hal be wounded five times. He's shot in the face. He's got an amazing story where he bandages himself up and and continues on. And I think one of the amazing things about D-Day, sometimes we think, well, they're just lucky. You know, luck is what gets them to survive the landings and things like that, but it's tenacity and leadership that actually gets them to reach their objectives. The initial troops are on their objectives by 9 in the morning. They secure portions of the bluffs by noon, which is an incredible task, you know, when you're outnumbered against that density of enemies.
And when you say bluffs, you're talking about almost 90 degree, right, vertical?
Yeah, so it's about 90 feet in height. You know, it's really a serious climb, and you've got about 4 or 5 football fields first you got to get over, you know, which is the low ground, but, of course, that's covered with beach obstacles. There are, you know, various things called, you know, Czech hedgehogs and, you know, various names for that. But it's a series of obstacles you get through covered by, you know, 10 pillboxes within about 2 miles across, 38 machine guns. I mean, you can't imagine the density of weapons. And then you've got to climb what would be the equivalent of about a 9-story building to get to the top where the Germans are defending. So it's really an incredible task.
And I said 90 degrees, but a very vertical climb, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as steep as Punta Hoc, which is, you know, just over to their right flank, which is literally a straight climb, you know, but there are some draws in the bluff where you'd kind of, you know, go up through there. But it's a pretty steep climb. You know, maybe it's 60 degrees in spots, but it's... you know, in other spots you can't get up because there's, you know, German pillboxes there and things like that. It's really an incredible, you know, if you stand on that beach and look up, you're just like, you know, this is an incredible thing to imagine, you know, how they did this, let alone how you did it against an enemy that's so well entrenched, outnumbered, has range cards sighted, machine guns, mortars, all those pieces that you're up against.
As a retired colonel, can you put yourself in that landing craft? Can you even imagine what was going on?
Well, I tell you, it's incredibly difficult. I was, as a lieutenant, I was actually attached to the 1st Battalion, 16th Infantry, which is the other unit that landed on Omaha Beach. And so, you know, we would see their veterans. You know, this is 40 years ago. They were a bit younger. And I still cannot imagine that. And the second piece is, imagine, you know, yes, you're short Normandy, but you still have to get through the hedgerows, and you've got continuous fighting now, you know, for another 11 months. And so how does the leaders at every level, you know, keep those soldiers moving on in that? I think it's an incredible, incredible story about American resolve, tenacity, adaptiveness, leadership.
I get a chill every time I read and think about the Eisenhower note about if the invasion had failed. For those that don't know of it, can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, I sure can. So, you know, Eisenhower is going to, you know, make the decision to land on, you know, originally it's delayed from June 5th to June 6th, but he'll take a pencil and writes a note that you know, that basically says that the invasion has failed. The soldiers have done everything they possibly could, but I've withdrawn the troops, and I am solely responsible for the failure. And you know, folds that up and puts it in his pocket. And I think it speaks volumes. One is how uncertain D-Day is going to be, but the second is how Eisenhower is prepared to take the sole responsibility for the defeat. And then, you know, for the success, it gives the success to the soldiers and sailors and airmen that accomplish it. And, I mean, it you know, and puts it in his wallet and forgets about it. But the leadership that Eisenhower shows in that, you know, kind of quiet, no one knows he does that until later, I think is a great testament to his humility.
79th anniversary of D-Day. We're talking to Michael Bell, Executive Director of the World War II Museum's Jennie Craig Institute for the Study of War and Democracy, a retired Army colonel. Colonel, if you can, you know, here on the 79th anniversary, and I know there are people listening that it's just a mere historical fact for them. I hate to even say that because I don't mean to sound disrespectful when I say it, but in the context of the war, maybe they've seen Saving Private Ryan, but Talk about the invasion, if you will, and in the context of the war, how seminal of a moment that was and how this was, for want of a better term, an all-in moment for the Allies.
Yeah, sure, Tommy. I think this is an incredible moment in United States and world affairs. It's really pivotal. You know, first, it sets the stage for the liberation of Europe. You know, before that, you're kind of on the margins and you're preparing for that. You know, certainly that you've got the Red Army on the Eastern Front. But let me put Normandy in context. So, you know, Normandy, we'll talk about numbers in a second. The day before, which would have been the original D-Day, June 5th, General Clark's 5th Army liberates Rome with 5 infantry divisions, an armored division, and a special service force, so over 100,000 troops. And they, you know, pass through to the Tiber and continue to engage the Germans. The same day, the Armada leaves Hawaii for the Mariana Islands, which will invade Saipan. When you see Saipan, then we can have B-29 bombers bomb Japan. That's another 71,000 Marines and Army troops. And so then what do the Allies do on D-Day? Over 160,000 troops land in 24 hours. 73,000 of those are American. So what other country on earth could project power to, you know, really pursue these interests simultaneously in different parts of the world? I mean, it's an incredible story. And then, you know, within that, you know, you're talking just within Normandy, Omaha Beach alone, you know, you'd think focus on the early morning with Hal Baumgartner. You know, it's really a tough fight. By the end of the day, we've had 34,000 troops ashore just on Omaha Beach. I mean, it's an incredible number. I mean, just trying to queue up that many people would be difficult. 11,000 aircraft. There's 7,000 vessels that support this. There's 200 warships bombarding the shore. How do you even coordinate that in the world before cell phones and computers? I mean, I think the achievement is incredible. And it'll set up the liberation of Europe. And, you know, that's, you know, liberation's the next big pavilion we're working on, you know, the cost of the war, but also the legacy of the war and its importance both in the fight for freedom at home and abroad. And so I think D-Day is such a seminal moment in that. Let me frame it, though. There's about 10,000 Allied casualties that day. About 6,600 Americans are killed and wounded. Of those, 2,500 killed, which is, now if we think of relatively, about 2,500 is the number of Americans that were killed in the wars in the war in Afghanistan in 20 years. And, you know, 160,000 troops land on D-Day. You know, the height of the surge in Iraq, we had about 180,000 in Iraq. So, you know, we did in one day what you know, we had, you know, worked for months and years literally doing in this war on terrorism.
If it had failed, Colonel, what then?
Well, you know, I think if it had failed, I think we'd live in a very different world. You know, the elections are 1944. FDR's health isn't great. American casualties are significantly higher than we had imagined they'd be. I mean, the Army had hoped to raise 200 divisions and only raised 89 in the war because of the casualties and filling up divisions. And so I don't think, first of all, that it'd be a foregone conclusion, you know, could you sue for peace or could, you know, allow Germany to keep something? And then the question is, would the Soviet Union have stayed in the war without a viable, you know, second front? And, you know, with their record with, you know, how they made a deal with the Nazis over Poland, I don't know, it's a foregone conclusion that they would have stayed in the war. So imagine this world would be very different today. You know, we wouldn't have a United Nations, we wouldn't have universal human rights ideas, we wouldn't have many of the things that the United States has championed through the war and then after the war. And so, you know, I know sometimes we like to think it's inevitable. I don't see anything inevitable about D-Day, and certainly not about the success even on Omaha Beach.
And again, that's what I love about the National World War II Museum. There was a war going on in the Pacific as well that is just incredible that the United States and the Allies were able to accomplish that. That's what the National World War II Museum tells the story of. Colonel, thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time and your insights, as always, and everything you guys do over there at the National World War II Museum.
Well, thanks, Tommy. Thanks for being with you, and hope to see folks here, or if they can't, hope they can join us online.
Yes, sir. How do they do that?
You know, they can, on the website, there's a link that...
I didn't mean to catch you off guard there.
I can tell them. I mean,
no, I got it right here in front of me. I can tell them exactly where to go. You can go to... go to the National World War II Museum's VIMEO channel online and just search that, and you'll be able to find it.
Perfect. Thanks,
Thank
Tom.
You, sir. You bet. Have a good D-Day, and I appreciate your time. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Dr. Judy Ho. Summer's here. Is better keep your kids on a schedule with activities and things planned, or should you let them figure it out yourselves? Well, we'll talk to our friend, the clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Take your questions as well at 504-260-1870. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.